What is going on, guys, and welcome to Big League Perspective. My name is Billy Pinkney, author of Passion Prevails, and today we have Big League veteran, 14-year Big Leaguer Matt Joyce joining the show. He's an all-star, he's an entrepreneur, business owner, analyst as well for the Rays, and we're excited to have him on here. He's got a lot of great stuff to say. So many great experiences while playing for many, many years at the highest level in baseball, and let's dive right into it with Matt Joyce. It's time for you to check out the BB Collection. Pick up some Billy the Bat Boy merch, inspirational quotes. We got faith-related merch. We got all kinds of stuff. Go check it out. The link to it is in the show notes below. All right, we are here with Matt Joyce, big league veteran, all-star, entrepreneur, analyst. Matt, I appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, of course, of course. Billy the Kid. You know, it's been nice having the conversations with you and seeing your progress. I think you're doing a great job on social media and obviously creating your own podcast now. So looking forward to seeing your growth, and thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It's funny. We met a few weeks ago down in Tampa. You showed me around the studio and to see what you're up to. And it's a lot of great stuff. You want to tell the viewers a little bit about your ventures post-career?
Yeah, sure. I've been a little bit all over the place. I'm wired to go, so I'm not really the guy that wanted to retire and go play golf every day. So towards the end of my career, we started building out F45 gyms, which, rocking the hat, free marketing when I walk around Tampa. So we have five F45 studios. I mean, F45 is a group fitness concept, functional, low impact movements in a group setting. And we have some great territories in Tampa's, obviously an incredible market to have a fitness facility like F45. So we've done pretty well. Obviously, just like anything, you're going to have your challenges, your bumps in the road, things that you learn. We were set to open March 2020, and we couldn't get open. Obviously, it was COVID. So we kind of had to wear it. We had to eat rent. You know, we were trying to do everything we can to really just like get the word out there that we were opening our studio up in New Tampa. And then obviously, as things opened up, you know, the studio got a little bit better. We opened up our second studio in downtown, and then we kind of continued to grow. And then, so we're kind of at a point now where we're holding steady. You know, I bounce around the studios a lot. I'll do the broadcasting. Last year I did broadcasting for Bally's as well as Apple TV. Apple TV went way over their budget, and so I got the axe and on Apple TV, so not too bitter, but I was looking forward to coming back because they were going to actually have me on MLB Network when I was up there. So I was excited about that, but you know, hopefully maybe in the future that'll work out. And then, yes, as far as like the media side, one of my favorite parts of being in the big leagues was later in my career, I got to be the MC on the bus. And typically the MC is like the veteran, the old veteran. And for me, I always hated public speaking. I was really nervous. And so, you know, I was kind of scared to do it. But like I had a couple guys were like, hey, man, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to get on the mic. And so I took a little time and I prepped. And I used to call the rookies up. And they would tell us, you know, a joke or sing us a song. We had a one time line up on the bus and do a congo. And we had the bus driver pull over. And they went around the bus in the congo line and you know, dancing in the congo line. And then we're like, go around again. And then we had the bus take off and go to the hotel. We were like two blocks out from the hotel. So I really missed that aspect of when I retired, of just like the sense of camaraderie, being in the clubhouse, being on the bus and like joking with the guys. And so so I wanted to create the podcast to continue the conversation with other guys that have either are in the game now or have played the game and get their different perspectives, pick their brains, have interesting conversations. I kind of tend to gravitate towards more business, entrepreneurship. And we literally just had Bautista on the podcast called Big League Podcast. Jose Bautista just bought a soccer team in Vegas called Vegas Lights. So it was cool to kind of dive into that with him and see what that process was and how he thought about the decision and the deal. So that should get released here within the next few days. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. I feel like something that athletes never lose is that competitive spirit and just that drive to want to do something else and be a part of something. And man, you were in the big leagues for what, 14 years?
I was.
That's a long time. That's a long time. And they say that it's hard to get to the big leagues and it's even more difficult to stay there.
That's the saying.
How do you describe that consistency and just trying to go out there, you know, put up solid numbers and be as durable as possible? Because that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's and I think that saying's so true because, you know, it's hard to get to the big leagues. I mean, you get drafted, there's so much competition. You got to go through all the levels, right? I started at rookie ball, went to low A. I was fortunate enough to skip a high A, but in double A, I struggled a lot. And triple A was there for a month, and I got called up because I was playing really well, and Jock Jones was actually struggling. And so I got a shot. And nobody knows you when you come up, right? And so, like, they're going to attack, you know, come right at you, throw you fastballs to see what you got. And I was a good fastball hitter. And so I did really well off the bat. But the game adjusts to you, right? Like, they're not just going to continue to lay it in. They're not going to continue to challenge you. Like, if they see a weakness that you have, they're going to attack that. And really, you get exposed. And so I had a harder time with the off speed. And so, you know, kind of started to struggle a little bit because I mean, big league curveballs, sliders, changeups, dude, it's filthy. Like, it's on a different level. And so they wanted me to go play winter ball. So I played in Mexico and got a little bit better and then, got traded to the Rays, was with the Rays for 5 years, before I bounced around, played for 8 different teams over 14 years. I had a really good run. I mean, to play in the big leagues for 14 years is you know, it's respectable, right? Like, it's, there's a lot to be proud of for me. I overcame a lot of adversity. There was times where, you know, I was just, you know, in the minor leagues in double A, I was hitting 190 after 2 months of the season. And like, I remember lying in bed, just like, you know, tears in my eyes, you know, can't sleep. Cause I'm struggling. I'm frustrated. I'm stressed out. And I just remember like thinking, I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And, you know, I decided, man, I just need help. I need outside answers. And we went on a bus trip and we stopped at a plaza and I went into the bookstore and I bought like 3 different books. And one of them was Law of Attraction. Another one was, another mindset book. And then I ended up buying like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, cause I enjoyed, you know, learning about money. And from that moment, you know, I when I started to dive into Law of Attraction, when I started to really dive into the mindset, to be successful, I learned very quickly and I realized like I was being very negative. Like I had a lot of negative thoughts and I had to really force the positive thoughts. I had to force them. And so like I went from, you know, kind of stepping in the box and being like, man, I just don't feel like I have a chance. Like I know I'm not going to get a hit. To really forcing, like, I mean, the whole game, I was like, I know I'm a good hitter. I know I can do this. I can do this. I know I'm a good hitter. I'm a great hitter. And repeating those and those repetitions of like self affirmation, you know, turned into belief. And once that belief started happening and I got, you know, a hit, you know, I started to believe it a little bit more. And so when that happened, my confidence, you know, grew. And so like the lessons that I learned in double A going through that low point, that struggle stayed with me my entire career of really being able to control my thoughts, you know, force the positive thinking, you know, all the other intangibles of preparation, dealing with failure, you know, everything that goes into being successful and especially being successful for an extended period of time. Right. It's easy to be successful a little bit, but it's much harder to sustain that because you have to literally just do it over and over and you have to be able to adjust to the game, how the game is adjusting to you.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of guys, sometimes they have early success and then they face a little bit of adversity. Maybe they go in a slump or maybe they get injured and then mentally they have to rewire things. And that's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes guys fizzle out because of that and just don't know how to handle it. And then, you know, their career spins out of control. So how long did it take you to really make that adjustment mentally and just rewire things a little bit in order to have a different outlook?
You know, in double A, like when I really started to dive into the books and it was crazy to go from 190 struggling, you know, just wondering and really like almost feeling like I wasn't going to make it to the big leagues. to literally a year later, less than a year later, I was getting called up with the Tigers. And so again, like within like, a, I want to say 10 days, within 10 days, really, like I saw a little bit of momentum. And the momentum was huge for me to go from like struggling, the mindset of like, all right, I know I can do this. Maybe I just need to make a little adjustment. And like, again, that turned into the belief. And then the belief turns into confidence. Confidence, you know, is so huge in baseball, you know, to the self, the belief in yourself to be able to be successful and confident in your ability. Man, it was a game changer for me. And so I took that into being a rookie, you know, and obviously, man, I got caught up 2008 Tigers. This team was predicted to win the World Series. These guys, it was Pudge, Verlander, young Verlander, Sheffield was there, Magly Ordóñez, Granderson. This team was stacked. And to go in that clubhouse was really one of the few times that I was like starstruck. And so, you know, when you're a 23-year-old kid and you're in this environment, you're like, geez, do I even belong in this environment? And so again, you know, the mindset of like, all right, no, I'm going to force that thought and until I really believe it. And then I'm going to go show it. I'm going to go work to earn and prove it that I do belong there. And so again, you know, I had some success and that was the biggest thing where it was like every single day, you know, I felt like being at the big league level, you had to earn your right to be at the big league, playing in the big leagues. And there's a saying where it's like, there is no easy day in the big leagues. Like everybody's like, oh, well, who's the pitcher you love to face? Even the pitchers that I did well against, like it was a grind. It was like, man, shit, we got Scherzer today. You know, like, all right, like, you know, I got to step it up, right? Like, how am I going to attack this guy? How does he attack me? What's my plan? What's my approach? And so there wasn't ever an easy day or day that you look forward to, because even the worst player in the big leagues is still one of the best players in the world, right? So, you learn a lot as you go. You try to make the adjustments and staying positive and really reinforcing that positive self-talk was a game changer for me.
When you first get called up and you're playing with legends, you got legends in the clubhouse, guys who have been there for a long time. Was it difficult to be yourself at first, or did you really have to just come out of your shell a little bit and just interact with people organically as you went along?
Yeah, I was a quiet kid, you know, and I think being a little bit more of an introvert, a quiet kid, like, you know, I'm not going to be loud, obnoxious. And so, you know, I didn't really want the target on my back from the other big leaders. It was like, hey, show up to do the work. And you know, my dad would always say, let your bat do the talking, right? So that was me. I was okay with it. I actually had a harder time really with like the interviews after the game, just because I was nervous, you know. I hated public speaking. And you had a good game, they want to interview you in front of 40,000 people and the camera's right there in your face. And I'm like, you know, I'm talking fast and I'm touching my ears and I'm all nervous. And that's something else, you know, you had to learn how to do, you had to like learn to slow the game down, learn how to think about what the questions they were going to ask and prepare. So, you know, I didn't feel like I had a hard time being myself. I was definitely nervous to be around those guys and not knowing how to act, but I felt like, hey, as long as I, you know, showed up, had a good attitude and put in the work and effort, like everything was going to be fine.
Yeah, you talk about the nerves and all that kind of stuff. You look at New York playing against the Yankees for a while and just being in that environment. How would you describe that? Because you were actually playing against the Yankees when Jeter got his 3,000th hit.
I did, yeah. I was playing left field. And that was, I mean, for me, it was kind of cool. I know Price didn't have the best day, but, you know, to be attached to that moment and a special moment in history where, you know, this Yankee legend and really the legend of the game, you know, had an incredible day and got, I don't know, 5 or 6 hits off of David Price, who was, you know, one of the best young lefties in the game at the time. So, you know, for me, obviously, being a part of that, being at Yankee Stadium, you know, hearing, and Joyce looks up and Jeter's got his 3,000th hit as a home run. I mean, dude, that's the stuff that gives you chills, because it's so special, you know, they're epic, iconic moments. and you get to be a part of it. Although maybe a little bit on the losing end, you're still a part of it, and you're a part of history. And one of the coolest things was Jeter. The series we played in the series before his last series against the Orioles, where he hit that walk off hit, and so it was the last game that we were playing, and I ended up hitting a double down left field, and they did a pitching change, and all the infielders come to the mound, and I'm standing on second, and Jeter walks off, and you know I don't know the guy that well besides like playing against him a bunch, and he came over to me, he goes, yeah, hey Matt, you know, just want to wish you all the best. Hope you have a long, healthy, successful career, and you know, all the best to you. And I'm like, what? You know, this guy's a legend of the game, of a Yankee captain, and he's coming over to me to wish me the best, and it was just such a class act, and it meant a lot as a young player, and you don't realize, you know, when you're somebody like him, how much something like that means to a young guy.
And you talk about sportsmanship like that, and a lot of the young kids out there, we want to help them just be better teammates and be the best people. You know, you could be a good player, but it doesn't mean a whole lot if you're not a good person and a good teammate. And I'm sure you've played with a lot of great guys who truly want to bring the team together. And what can that do for a team with the chemistry and overall production?
No, that's huge. You know, especially in a big league season, you're playing 162 games. You have 30 games in spring training. If you make the playoffs, you're playing over 200 games a year, and you don't have a lot of off days. A lot of times, maybe 2 days off a month, and one of them is usually a travel day. So you're around each other a lot, and you're in the clubhouse together a lot. And so I always felt like the game's pretty ruthless, you know, and there's a lot of failure in the game, and it has a way of testing you and really like hardening you. Because you have to literally just, you feel like you're getting punched in the face day after day, and you just have to keep going. You got to keep moving forward, and you kind of have to, again, the positive, you have to force the positive in there. And so it's easy to get negative in the game and to be, woe is me. And, I hate this game. I hate this grind. My body hurts. I'm traveling. I'm on the road. There's, you know, like people don't realize how much of a grind it really is. And so, you know, the attitude of that you have, the attitude of your teammates tends to rub off on each other, right? And so if you have a guy that's really negative, it becomes a cancer in the clubhouse and on the team. And so for me, you know, there's definitely points where I got frustrated, you know, hitting slumps. And obviously when you're younger, you have a little bit harder time of controlling your emotions. And so again, I always tried to do my best to have a good attitude and to play the game the right way. You know, I was kind of raised and brought up of sportsmanship, like you talk about, in the sense of like, I didn't do bat flips, you know, I didn't, you know, really wanted to show up the other, player. It was competition, and I wanted to win and obviously perform well, but I never wanted to show anybody up. And as well as like at that time, you showed somebody up, you're probably getting one in the neck, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, again, I think you learn a lot as you go, and you know, I had a great career, and it was, I tell everybody, it was the ultimate roller coaster. It was the highest highs and the lowest lows, and in the real world, it's almost impossible to replicate them.
No, absolutely. And before we wrap it up, you've also played for some great managers. You got guys like Jim Leland and Joe Maddon. What messages did they give you throughout your career?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, along those same lines, I've gotten asked a couple times, who was like your favorite, who's the most influential hitting coach, who like most influential manager. But, you know, I feel like every manager you play for, every hitting coach you have, you take like one or two things from and, you know, they stick with you. And I felt like Leland, you know, Leland was cool. He was intimidating for me. You know, Leland was intimidating. He was a little bit older guy. And didn't really say too much to me. He asked me one time, he was like, Joyce, can you bunt? And I was like, yeah, I never bunted in the minor leagues. Okay. Never bunted them. I was hitting third and fourth in the minor leagues. I never bunted. And I was like, yeah, I could do it. And I fouled a couple off and of course, you know, ended up like striking out, and he was pissed. But he would like, you know, rip his marble reds in between every inning, and the dugout stunk like cigarettes, but he was still great to play for. You know what I mean? Like I always felt like the best managers were the easiest ones to play for. Joe was honestly perfect for me, like when I was a young player, because he was like, hey man, you know, be yourself. I want you to be yourself. Whatever it is, you know, do that. Be yourself. Whatever makes you feel comfortable, confident, do it. That's you. It's okay to be you and be yourself. He also preached a lot of good things. Control the controllables, right? Don't worry about the things you can't control. Focus on the things that you can control, and everything else will take care of itself. Play the game the right way. Hard 90. You're going to err on the side of aggressiveness. So be aggressive on the base pass, but don't be stupid. You know when to take your shots, right? At the plate. So there was a lot of things that I took from Joe. I thought, the only thing I'll say about Joe that made me very frustrated was, it might've been the second or third year I was there. Joe was kind of like investing in himself to do a little bit more self-promotion, which ended up being great for him because he got a great deal with the Cubs. And so sometimes we'd be stretching on the line for the game at like 4 o'clock, and we got a 7 o'clock, 6:50 game. And, you know, guys, we were just talking, be like, hey, you playing today? And I'm like, I have no idea if I'm playing today. I don't know what the lineup is. You know, the lineup wasn't even out. Right? So the hitting coach would go around and like tell the groups, and like sometimes he'd be like, am I playing? Like, what are we doing here? So that was the only thing where like I wanted to know the night before if I was starting. Because if not, then you can kind of turn off the switch, and it's a different feel to have that mentality. But I feel like every manager, took a little something from the best managers, were easy to play for. And again, as long as you were doing what you were supposed to be doing, they're not going to tell you too much. You know, maybe a little insight, feedback. I enjoyed playing for Mattingly, you know, just because he was such a great hitter. And I would pick his brain on hitting, you know, and that was, you know, his thing. That was like, you know, it was one of the best hitters in the game. And so like really enjoyed those conversations. So it just depended on who the manager was.
Matt, I appreciate you joining me. Great stuff, man.
Of course. Anytime. We'll have to follow up later in the season to check in, see how the teams are doing. And yeah, look forward to catching up.
If you're a high school, college, or youth athlete, you got to check out this book, Passion Prevails, or if you know one, it would make a great gift. This book is a compilation of interviews with professional athletes, mainly baseball players, but you have coaches in here, other professionals who have had decades and decades of experience in the sport. And the main goal is this: to help inform, entertain, and provide value on how to navigate your career while facing adversity, how to deal with those challenges that are inevitable, that you're gonna face throughout your career. And many kids out there don't have the proper instruction and guidance on how to navigate those challenges until they're a little bit older, until they have those experiences themselves and need to learn the hard way. So go check it out. It's filled with gems, great quotes, and messages from some of the best players in the sport of baseball. So I highly recommend it. Go check it out. It's in the show notes below. What a great chat with Matt right there. And obviously, no matter where you play, if you play a sport or not, or if you're in a different industry, you're going to face challenges. I mean, you heard him right there. He was in a big slump while coming up through the minor leagues, and he didn't know what was going to happen, right? There's a lot of uncertainty, and it's difficult sometimes to deal with that uncertainty and just know for sure if you're going to be able to make it, or know for certain if, you know, things will play out the way you imagine them to. But it did. He ended up playing 14 years at the highest level after batting 190 in AA and ultimately making adjustments and going on and doing what he knew he was capable of doing. So we'd like to go over the 10 perspective points before we wrap up here on the show. Number one, your identity is not in the sport you play. Number two, be faithful to God and his plan for you. Three, prove yourself right, not others wrong. Four, you were born with a purpose, allow it to be revealed to you. Five, your teammates will remember how you treated them. Number six, learn from others' mistakes as if they were your own. Seven, create your own approach if you want a different result than others. Number eight, live for each day, not the weekends. Nine, create your own version of cool, because fitting in is what losers do. And number 10, embrace your passion, because passion prevails. Thank you guys for joining us. Be sure to subscribe, leave a comment, leave a review, and share it with somebody who you know will benefit from it. And we'll see you guys next time here on the show.